Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
We are programmed just to do anything you want us to.
The radio program is starting. I am not John Schaefer. I am a robot. Coming up on Soundcheck, why Kraftwerk is the most important band in the history of the world, and why robots are smarter than John Schaefer, and why robots are taking over. First New York, and then the rest of the world.
Hey, where's your power switch? Alright, who let the Soundcheck 5000 out? Oh, he's cleaning up a mess. Actually, that robot had a point. Kraftwerk is taking over New York this week with 8 concerts and 8 nights. We'll look at the band's legacy and open the phones. Later, Stefan Rembel is a truly talented guitarist, almost too talented. After a retina scan that we hope will authenticate him as human, Stefan Rembel and his quintet will play live. All of that on Soundcheck after the news. Kraftwerk lived in a computer world long before any of us even owned one. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and today on the show, how the German synth-pop band and its robots are taking over New York. Plus, a live performance from the gypsy jazz guitarist Stefan Rembel. But we begin with Kraftwerk, those German man-machines who saw the future more than 3 decades ago. Part synth-pop act, part conceptual art project, Kraftwerk set the stage for the sound of electronic music to come with their 1974 album Autobahn and numerous others. Last night, a configuration of the group performed that album, Autobahn, at the Museum of Modern Art here in Manhattan, kicking off an 8-night retrospective and throwing the city into a computer love frenzy. These shows are some of the hottest tickets in town, and we'll open the phones in a moment to hear from you. But we're going to start right here in the studio with the German musician, vocalist, composer, and Kraftwerk fan, Theo Bleckmann. Theo, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Now, I just want to get this out of the way. Yeah. I'm saying Kraftwerk.
Yeah.
I know it's Kraftwerk.
Kraftwerk, yeah.
Which means power station.
Exactly, power plant, yeah.
So here they are at MoMA, mm-hmm. the Museum of Modern Art. What does that say about Kraftwerk? I mean, are they a museum piece at this point?
I don't think they're a museum piece, but they're worthy of a museum's attention. They just came out with a retrospective on CD called Der Katalog. And if you've seen their artwork, it should be in a museum. I mean, it's absolutely beautiful.
And now it is, because these concerts are part of a larger visual exhibition of their work.
And so are their performances. Their performances are very stylized and highly crafted. And they often send out models or mannequins to perform for them.
Or robots.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that has been sort of the image that we've had of Kraftwerk over the years, this kind of cool, robotic, very unemotional, uninflected kind of music. Is that really what they're doing?
That's part of it, absolutely. It's very calculated. It's very crafted, Kraftwerk. But there's also an infatuation with technology and a very romantic streak that they're putting into the music. One thing that I really enjoy about their songs is that oftentimes when the vocals are not obliterated through a vocoder or other means of technology, the singing is quite vulnerable. Mm-hmm. It's not a professional voice.
Right.
And this contrast between this perfect world and this layman singing is so beautiful to me. It's just extremely touching.
So last night, Kraftwerk began their series of 8 retrospective concerts at MoMA, and WNYC culture reporters Jennifer Sue and Richard Yeh talked with concertgoers at MoMA last night and recorded a bit of last night's show.
I told my wife coming in today it was easier to get into grad school than to get these tickets. I spent an hour where I thought I was knocked offline 4 or 5 times.
It started out as just another show I'm going to, but then as the hype increased around it, I got more psyched about it. It was kind of fun to just say, hey, I'm going to Kraftwerk, and people, you know, responding, oh, I hate you, I wish I could go. And so that was fun.
Some of the folks who were at last night's first concert by Kraftwerk at the Museum of Modern Art here in Manhattan. We're speaking with the vocalist and musician Theo Bleckman. His latest release, Hello Earth, The Music of Kate Bush, is out now. But Theo has done many, many other things during the course of a long and varied career in the music world. When you were growing up in Germany, mm-hmm. how big a deal was Kraftwerk?
They came up in the early 70s. First, they were a krautrock band and started out as a duo.
Define krautrock.
Krautrock is a British term for German late 60s, early 70s indie rock that sort of was sort of like a jam band with a hippie tinge.
But generally, you know, applied to bands like Tangerine Dream, Klaus Schulze. I mean, people who had a certain motoric, in fact, the German word motorik was used for that.
Exactly. But it was acoustic instruments most of the time. And little by little, Ralf Hütter and Florian Schneider, who are the founders, started incorporating more and more electronic instruments because of their love and their studies in classical music mm-hmm. and their interest in Stockhausen and also Pierre Schaeffer.
So the European classical avant-garde.
Exactly.
And yet, when they hit it big here in the States, and I assume in Germany as well, it was with one of the, as you were saying before, one of the most pop kind of songs. I mean, the singing in Autobahn mm-hmm. really is just like a couple of guys who maybe should be singing, maybe shouldn't, but they're doing it.
Luckily, they are singing.
This was a big deal here in the States because it was a non-English language song on American radio.
Yes.
How big a deal in Germany was that?
It was very big. I was 8 years old when it came out, and I remember thinking, you can't be serious with this song. This is the weirdest thing I've ever heard. There's nothing there. And yet, you couldn't stop listening. Of course, my brother, who was a little bit older, bought the record, and we were listening all day long to this bizarre, trancey kind of music. We didn't really know why, and we thought, oh, over the course of time, they're going to say this is a joke or this is all a big spoof. But actually, it's not. Now that I look back, it's actually more beautiful.
It was 1974, Kraftwerk making a statement with their early hit, Autobahn.
Schalten wir das Radio an, aus dem Lautsprecher klingt es dann.
...1974 hit from Kraftwerk, the German band, and Autobahn from the album of the same name. That's the album that Kraftwerk played last night at the Museum of Modern Art here in Manhattan. 8 consecutive nights of live performances, immediately and impossibly sold out. And there's an accompanying exhibition at MoMA, at MoMA's PS1 space through May 14th as well. We're talking about Kraftwerk on Soundcheck today, and Soundcheck listeners, do you think Kraftwerk is cool, or does the band leave you cold? And if you saw last night's show, what did you think? You can leave a comment on our webpage, wnyc.org/soundcheck, or call us, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Theo Bleckman with me here in the studio. Theo, let me read you a comment from Sheldon in Brooklyn, because he's going to something I wanted to ask you about here. For four men from 70s West Germany, of all places, to get soul and warmth out of cold electronic machines the way they did was as close to a musical paradox as one can ever get. They changed everything from Detroit techno to New York hip-hop. The DNA of an entire genre of music, Latin freestyle, was based on Trans-Europe Express, which is a song by Kraftwerk that we'll come back to. But the idea of four guys in Cold War divided Germany finding this kind of voice, was it a function of being in Cold War divided Germany?
Absolutely. I'm sure that it was. And it was also a function of not wanting to replicate British and American pop music. They were very clear that we wanted our own thing, and that was to rely or to base our harmonic and rhythmic patterns on Western European music. So there is no blues in this music. And that was clear from the get-go. And once they had discovered the worlds of Stockhausen and the electronic manipulation through the Minimoog and the ring modulator, there was no stopping them.
So the technology of the avant-garde becomes the language through which they express a lot of things, including from Autobahn on, a love of motion, of movement. Lots of Trans-Europe Express being a great example. You know, trains, bicycles, Morgenspaziergang, a morning walk, you know, Autobahn, driving down the highway at high speed. Well, is that kind of like the Cold War German version of the American love of the open road and the open highway?
Probably. I think that it's also a way to get the body into the music. Otherwise, it's completely disembodied, which I don't feel it ever is, even with the robots. The robots are created by humans. No animal ever created a robot. So you need humans to create a robot. And within that, there's always this feeling there's a body there. There's a person there. There's a feeling person there. Even though the lyrics often are lists, which I love very much, just lists of things where it reveals itself throughout the song, not at one moment, I'm feeling this, I'm so happy when I'm walking, I'm so excited when I'm driving, but it's just lists, and it's really just description, very, very sobering kind of descriptions, and through the music and through this layman singing, it actually gives me the chills.
We're speaking with Theo Bleckman, who, among other things in a productive musical career, has actually recorded a version of one of Kraftwerk's songs, and that is the song The Model. Now, we can hear a little bit of the original, Theo. We can hear a little bit of what you've done with it as well. And, you know, the idea that this music, which was conceived of and created in the electronic world, can be brought out of that world, that seems like a pretty subversive thing that you're doing.
That also reflects back on how great Kraftwerk is, because if you take just the pitch material and the rhythms, there's still enough there. It's not because it's such cool sounds on the computer that it works only, but the material itself is very, very
so the song underneath
beautiful.
All the high exactly. gloss is... Let's hear a little bit of The Model from the 1978 album The Man Machine by Kraftwerk. Kraftwerk singing in English. There's, of course, a German version of this song, The Model, as well, from their 1978 album, The Man Machine. My guest Theo Bleckman checks in with an acoustic version with pianist Michael Wolny.
Sie ist ein Model und sie sieht gut gerne zu mir nach Hause. Sie wird so kühl an, sie kommt niemand ran. Vor der Kamera, da zeigt sie, was sie kann.
Kraftwerk's song The Model, sung here by my guest Theo Bleckman in a live performance with Michael Walney at and in the piano, doing some work on the strings inside the instrument as well. So just as Kraftwerk seem to have played with stereotypes of, you know, Germanness in their music, here you are playing with the stereotype of what a Kraftwerk song should sound like. And we've got a couple of callers on the line. Bob is with us from Warwick, New York, and David is on the line with us from Queens, and the guys have differing views of the band. Bob, you first. Are you a fan of Kraftwerk?
Oh, big time. I actually own analog keyboards, but when I was 14, I worked on a farm, and we used to have to go out and pick corn, and we used to listen to Kraftwerk on an 8-track.
Wow. You are dating yourself there, 8-track tape.
Oh, it's cool because I was dating the girl, and her father had a copy of it, and he was like 50.
Wow.
I don't know.
Okay.
And the other thing I meant to mention to your guest, have either of you ever heard the Balanisco Quartet from England do Kraftwerk?
Right, yes.
String Quartet.
Yep.
Yes.
The Balanisco Quartet have a whole album of Kraftwerk covers. But David from Queens, I imagine you're less than impressed.
Hello, 1-2-1-2.
Yep.
Oh, thank you, guys. It's a pleasure being on the air. Yeah, Kraftwerk has always left me saying, there was really not that much to grab onto musically, like Tometa Planets or, you know, Herbie Hancock when he came out with Rocket or Afrika Bambaataa. Because I never found the rhythmic and the timing just seemed to be so lax.
Well,
but it might be, I don't know, maybe it's a German-European post-war thing, you know?
It's funny, David, though, that you mentioned Afrika Bambaataa, because his big hit, Planet Rock, is based on Kraftwerk. It's a Kraftwerk song, basically.
It's sampled Trans Europe Express and the groove from Numbers.
Mm-hmm. So we can come back to in a couple of minutes. But Soundcheck listeners, we're asking you about Kraftwerk. They're the buzz here in New York this week. It is simply the hottest ticket in town. Do you think Kraftwerk is cool, or does the band leave you cold? Our comment page is on the website at wnyc.org/soundcheck, or you can call us 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. We'll take a quick break, and when we continue, more of our conversation with Theo Bleckman about Kraftwerk, and we'll take your calls and your comments. Kraftwerk's Vitamin from the Tour de France record from 2003. Later on in the program today, a live performance from a Django Reinhardt disciple, the guitarist Stefan Rembel, and his quintet will play live in the Soundcheck studio. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. We've been talking about the German synth-pop band Kraftwerk and their 8-night residency at the Museum of Modern Art, which began last night. Tickets for the shows sold out immediately, which inspired a kind of Kraftwerk fringe festival around town. In the background, you're hearing a bit from a tribute concert that took place last night at the music venue Littlefield in Brooklyn. This is the accordion player Korn Mo and his take on the song We Are the Robots. Sung in, Theo, I would say, fairly decent German here.
Yeah, very nice.
And as we've already heard, Korn Mo, not the only artist to draw inspiration from Kraftwerk. We heard Theo's version of Das Model a few moments ago. And lots of calls and comments coming in. Let's go straight back to the phones. James is with us from Princeton, New Jersey. James, Kraftwerk, are you a fan?
Uh, went way by being a fan. I grew up in Montreal, and they changed the club scene in Montreal entirely. And it got to the point where the disc jockeys would actually stop playing music and say, let's try something different. And they put on Kraftwerk, and the place went crazy.
When was this? When are you talking about?
Early 80s.
Early 80s. So
yeah.
At this point, Kraftwerk had already proven to be influential in a number of different fields. And Dennis from Brooklyn on the line with us wants to talk about hip-hop. Right, Dennis?
Absolutely. Am I on?
Yeah.
Listen, I was a junior in high school when Trans-Europe Express came out. And I'm going to tell you, it was one of those things where a couple of us were down at the old Jimmy's Music World on Fulton Street. So we saw this album with these four clean-cut white guys, and we just took a chance and bought it. And I'm going to tell you, Metal on Metal became one of, like, the biggest breakbeats of the era. It was certainly, like, it was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It still is.
And then Afrika Bambaataa comes on the picture and changes everything with this song, Planet Rock.
Right in my day, as the people say, live it up, shoot. For work or play, our world is free. Be what you be, it's me.
Rock, rock, the planet rock. Don't stop. Rock, rock, the planet rock. Don't stop.
You're in a place where the nights are hot. Nature's children dance and say the chant on this mother earth, which is our rock. The time has come, it was foretold. The soul you really got sold. Are you ready?
Afrika Bambaataa's 1982 epic hit called Planet Rock. Theo Bleckman, you recognized a couple of parts of that song,
oh,
right?
Yeah. There was Trans-Europe Express. Dun, dun, da, 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 da. That one, and then the groove from Numbers.
Mm-hmm. And the caller, Dennis, mentioned Metal on Metal. Has that, that's not in this song, but, you know, that kind of breakbeat thing.
Yeah.
That's become, I mean, if hip-hop is the folk music of our time,
mm-hmm.
then Kraftwerk is certainly part of the folk roots.
Yeah. I think what Kraftwerk really did was to take synthetic sounds and treat them as real sounds, not placeholders for something else. And I think within that lies a huge revolution. And they popularized it and put it in a song form, which before then was really left to experimental composers.
Right. So these sounds, which had been sound effects,
correct,
now were genuine musical sounds.
Yes.
They were instruments on their own.
And they used musique concrète sounds. Like, they actually took sounds and put them into the music,
mm-hmm.
which was something that you probably know more about.
So if they wanted the sound of a train going by, you didn't need a synthesizer to do a kind of whoosh. They just tape a train going by and
weave
it into
and
the
they
song.
Used in computer about they used a pocket calculator to make sounds.
We're talking about Kraftwerk. Their 8-night residency at MoMA began last night, and in addition to the calls on the line, there are comments on the webpage. There is Joel Meyer in the control room with some of them.
Well, John, you can probably guess whom we've heard from. Robots Need to Party.
I was wondering if Robots Need to Party was going to weigh in.
He or she. Actually, we don't really know whether it's a female or a male robot, as it were. But Robots Need to Party from New York City has commented on our page. Enough cannot be said about this band. Their influence is profound, and their sound is certainly not unemotional. In another comment, you can really hear the gears turning. This one is from Simone from Peekskill, who writes, I bought the original album when it came out, perhaps because I was taking German in college at the time. What is it worth now? Everyone thought I was crazy at the time. And then Skink from Manhattan wants to rewind the conversation a bit to something that you and Theo were saying about krautrock. Here's what Skink writes. You and Theo seem like you're describing krautrock as hippie acoustic music. Krautrock began as an aggressive political response by post-war German youth. So, John, that raises the issue maybe of Kraftwerk being part of that post-war generation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there were acoustic instruments in the beginnings of Kraftwerk.
The first two records.
Yes, exactly. Right. It had flute and guitar and keyboards in it, so it was acoustically played. And then they added a drum set or like a drum machine that they built themselves with aluminum foil and metal plates.
Mm-hmm. So they were a part of that generation.
Yes.
That was growing up in a very turbulent and uncertain time.
Yeah,
and
you know, that there is a kind of certainty to this music. I mean, very early on, they seemed to know what they were about and what they wanted to do.
Yeah, there's this infatuation with technology and this unattainable love with technology, which I think is a beautiful aspect of this world, of their idea of how to live in this world.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, they fetishize technology, but it also fails.
What about, you know, something as simple as a pocket calculator? I mean, what do we make of a song like this? It seems to be dripping with irony. Is there something sincere at the heart of this song?
I think I remember when I had my first Texas Instruments calculator. This was the, you know, the laptop of the day. Oh my God, you could calculate roots, and it was unbelievable. And the lights were blinking, and it was amazing. So there's this love for technology, and I love the lyric says, "I'm the operator with my pocket calculator, not off my pocket calculator."
A little bit of the song from Kraftwerk called "Pocket Calculator." Very quotidian lyrics from Kraftwerk, yeah. The song Pocket Calculator. And we're talking with the German musician Theo Bleckmann about the German band who have taken over the stage at the Museum of Modern Art for the next week here in New York, and talking with a number of our Soundcheck listeners about the band as well. John is from Annandale, New Jersey. He's on the line. John, Kraftwerk, friend or foe?
Oh, definitely a friend. Though I was ready to be a foe when they were dropped on me.
Why?
It was about 1980, 81, I guess, when the record Computer World came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a dyed-in-the-wool prog rocker. So if I got keyboards, maybe they were coming from, you know, Genesis or Rick Wakeman. And I wasn't ready for the computer effect, but a friend of mine's repeated playing of that record just convinced me how beautiful it was. And I think, you know, one of the things about the band is they really write gorgeous melodies. And it was something that's, you know, it's not just about the computer sound,
yeah.
but it's that they get yeah. riffs that get into your head. I was going to tell you guys I was listening to a record in a store. We dropped Coldplay's X and Y,
mm-hmm.
And the very first time, and it was the song called Talk. I thought it was the song Speed of Sound I mentioned to your people in the control room, but there was a song called Talk on that record, X and Y, and as soon as the riff came on, I recognized it, and I knew exactly where the whole song was going to go, and it took me months before I realized it was the song Computer Love.
From the album Computer World by Kraftwerk. You can find their tendrils, the echoes of their influence in so many parts of the music world after 40 years. They have toured infrequently. Theo, you're going to get a chance to see them this week?
I just got two tickets from Kraftwerk themselves, actually.
Nice.
Lucky me.
For which night?
For the 17th, for Tour de France.
Tour de France. I'm going Saturday to see this album that we're hearing in the background, Computer World. This is the song Computer Love. The vocalist Theo Bleckmann's latest release is Hello Earth, the music of Kate Bush. He's been with me on Soundcheck today. Kraftwerk is at MoMA for the next 7 nights, the accompanying exhibitions at MoMA's PS1 space through May 14th. Theo, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
This is Soundcheck. still to come, a live performance from guitarist Stefan Rembel and his quintet. This is Soundcheck. This Soundcheck, I'm John Schaefer. The French-born guitarist Stefan Rembel has come a long way from the Roma campsites, where he honed his skills in the genre that some call gypsy jazz, but that others, like Stefan Rembel, prefer to call Django's music, as in Django Reinhardt, the great guitarist. Now based in New Jersey, Stefan has been playing the North American circuit, including a trip to the Academy Awards, where he performed his original theme to the hit Woody Allen film Midnight in Paris. Stefan Rembel joins us to talk about his newest album, Origins. But first, he'll play that song that took him to the Oscars. It's called Bistro Fada, live performance on Soundcheck. That is Stefan Rembel live with his quintet here in the Soundcheck studio and a song called Bistro Fada, which you may know as the theme from Midnight in Paris, the hit Woody Allen film. Stefan Rembel playing lead guitar, Roy Williams rhythm guitar, Ari Folman-Cohen playing the bass, Nick Anderson drums, and David Langlois playing the hand percussion. Stefan, welcome back to Soundcheck.
Hello, thank you.
So how'd you get into the film business? How did this soundtrack happen?
You know, I always wanted to write music for movies. I always believed that it's writing music for movies is something you have or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like a sense for the image. I noticed also that when I compose, I always compose from an image, whether it's like an imaginary scene or a feeling or a place or something, a book. There is always like something that triggers it. I don't compose from notes. I compose from sensations, you know.
So even though there aren't lyrics, there are at least kind of ideas for stories behind some of these pieces.
Exactly. I don't really write lyrics. I don't have that power of manipulating words. But I express my emotions and the way I perceive the world around better with like notes. It's like a different kind of language.
Well, so now what was it like when the image that sparked the song was not one that you had made up yourself, but came from Woody Allen's imagination?
It's the same thing. An image come, I can score it. I don't know. It's just... This is what happened.
Was this the first time you'd done anything like that?
No, I scored a few features before that, like independent features and commercials and short movies.
Mm-hmm. So this time it's the Woody Allen movie called Midnight in Paris. Now, you know, we think of the sounds of Paris and maybe we think of like the Hot Club of France and Django Reinhardt and Stephen Grappelli and that great jazz that they did back in the 30s, which to this day people... called gypsy jazz. I know that's a term you don't like. What do you prefer to gypsy jazz?
I think like both words are very misleading.
Mm-hmm.
First, gypsy, it sounds maybe because there is acoustic guitars, I don't know. Maybe because Django was a gypsy.
Mm-hmm.
But there is only one word of gypsy in English. And actually, there are like four different groups with different names. And Django is not a Cali. He's not a gypsy from Spain. So when you say gypsy, it kind of like hints for people like kind of a gypsy king type of sound, which is like not at all the case.
Right. What about jazz?
Jazz is also, I think it's, I don't see Django as being jazz.
Hmm.
It's very hard to define jazz. There are like for me two ways of defining jazz. The first way is all that American music that came, like, started in New Orleans and that spread all over the
came
U.S.
Came out of the blues.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's hard to put words on it, but you have, like, Miles Davis, John Coltrane. Or it's jazz, you know.
Right,
I listen
right.
to Coltrane, it's jazz. I listen to Miles Davis, it's jazz. Or it's, like, any improvised music. But then, like, oud is jazz, Indian music is jazz, everything
right,
is
right.
jazz. So... if everything is jazz, why do you call it jazz? You know, I think, but for most people, jazz means Miles Davis, basically. You know, mm-hmm. so when you say Django is jazz, it's like completely misleading.
Mm. So the but still, you know, the Hot Club of France was thought of as a jazz club. That's where Django played back in the day, back in the 30s, and of course the style of music that you've maintained over the years, this is something you learned from some of the Roma campsites outside the, I assume it's outside the big cities.
Yeah.
In France.
It's outside of Paris, yeah, mainly.
Mm-hmm.
So I got the chance to hang out with the gypsies and get the knowledge firsthand. The way it's transmitted is from Django, and the Ferre brothers, like, they showed to other people how to play, and they were hanging out with Django, and these people showed their son, their cousin.
Mm-hmm. So it's the oral tradition.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know, the oral tradition gives something that literature doesn't give. You cannot learn the life that goes with the music from a book. You can learn the techniques, you can learn the notes, you can understand the logic. But whenever a human being explains something to you, there is a life that goes through it, that you cannot get anywhere but from another human being.
Mm.
So
is this a kind of guitar playing that you would not recommend people go to YouTube to learn?
Yeah, no. Of course, you should go to YouTube. But there is something that you learn with the gypsy, because it's not only the music. When you're in the camp and you have the atmosphere, you hear people talk, you see the way they walk, the way they eat, the way they interact. All that is part of the music, you know.
We're speaking with Stefan Rembel. He and his quintet are playing here in our studio today. They're at Symphony Space, 95th Street and Broadway, tomorrow evening at 7:30. And then the regular Sunday night gig at the Club Barbez. They're celebrating their 10th anniversary. I guess this is, Stefan, your 10th anniversary at Bar Bass, too.
Basically,
you were there at the beginning. That's the club on 9th Street in Park Slope. That'll be Sunday night at 9 o'clock. Stefan and the quintet are here in the studio. You want to do another song for us?
Yes. We're going to play another one of my compositions. Actually, it comes, as I explained before, from like images.
Mm-hmm.
The song is called Tsunami. I always had like a fascination for Japan, even if I've never been, you know. I know Japan basically from Zen. I know Japan from the paintings. Mm-hmm. I know Japan from Miyazaki, you know. So it's like an imaginary Japan.
An imaginary Japan for you,
and,
yeah.
And then I was watching the images of the tsunami last year,
mm-hmm.
devastating everything. And I had my guitar in my hands, and I came with this song that represents both things, my imaginary Japan and the tsunami devastating it.
All right, let's hear a live performance from Stefan Rembel and his quintet. Tsunami is the name of it, live on Soundcheck. Once again, Stefan Rembel playing the guitar. That's his piece called Tsunami, and it featured his quintet, Roy Williams playing rhythm guitar, Ari Fulman-Cohen playing the bass, Nick Anderson the drums, David Langlois playing the hand percussion. And it's a lovely song, Stefan.
Thank you.
You mentioned before Django Reinhardt. Now, you know, he's still a big name in many musical circles, but you've been living now in the States for many years. Do you find that you still need to kind of explain where this music comes from, who Django Reinhardt was, all of that kind of stuff?
You know, it's very funny because Django is like a beauty and a curse for me. Because it's like the one thing that I got from the Gypsy, the one thing that I have that no one really has here, but it's just like one brick in my wall.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I have like so many more like influences on any other genres and style or whatever. You know, I really compose with whatever I have. And it's true that everyone insists on that one aspect of my playing.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, now you call your new album Origins.
Yeah.
Is this kind of a look at some of your musical roots, the things that were important to you growing up?
You know, everything I do is based on, like, it's kind of like the child within, you know? So everything is always, I will always believe that we react as children. We are different because we learn to, like, interact in society and stuff. But what matters is still what was moving us when we were children. Our childhood is buried there and is still there. And this, I believe this is the purest aspect of each human being. When you get in touch with the child within, then you're in harmony with yourself and with the world.
I wonder if that, I mean, I was going to ask you about this track on your record called Voyager for Carl Sagan.
Yeah.
There was a guy who was always in touch with his inner child, never lost that sense of wonder at the universe around him. You wrote a song for him. Was he some kind of an influence on you?
He's one of my biggest heroes, if not the biggest. I love Carl Sagan. Exactly for this reason, it's like, it's being innocent like a child is, it can be a weakness in terms of survival because you get eaten, you know what I mean? But if you build enough an armor around yourself, then you can go through life and you can keep that wonder for the world, you know? And this is what it is. This is what I try to do with my music. This is what he was doing, you know, as a scientist.
Right. Great astronomer, a person who tried to bring the universe home to the rest of us. Voyager for Carl Sagan is the name of this track from Stefan Rembel's new album called Origins, coming out on May 15th. Just a little bit from Stefan Rembel's new album coming out on May 15th called Origins. This track is called Voyager for Carl Sagan, a reference to the American astronomer and author and a man who really popularized science. And, you know, when I say popularized, I don't mean dumbing it down, but really sort of explaining things to us in a way that the people could understand. And Stefan, you said he was a big influence on you. How much has living in America influenced your music?
How can I answer that?
Yeah, big question. Huh?
It's
in 20 seconds or less.
Okay, America is like maybe the capital of like what we can call world music. The whole world converged to New York, and as a performer, New York, like being in New York, is being at the center of all the influences in the world, and being in company with some of the greatest musicians in the world right now. So. It's incredible influence, yeah.
So you're at this big musical smorgasbord, this table full of different kind of delights from around the world.
Yeah, it's incredible.
And you're hungry. Stefan Rembel is my guest on Soundcheck today. He's been playing here with his quintet. They are performing tomorrow at 7:30 at Symphony Space, 95th Street and Broadway, and then his regular Sunday night gig at Barbez in Brooklyn. It's his 10th anniversary gig this Sunday at 9 p.m. Stefan, a real pleasure having you back in the studio with us today.
Thank you, John. It was a great pleasure.
This is Soundcheck. From the forthcoming album Origins by Stefan Rembel, wrapping up Soundcheck for today. Tomorrow, singer-songwriter Dar Williams joins us to preview a new album called In the Time of Gods. It's modern-day social commentary, but using the imagery of ancient Greek mythology, and she'll perform some of it live in our studio. Plus, as the centennial of the Titanic disaster approaches, we'll hear about songs inspired by the Titanic, and we'll learn about some interesting ways that you can commemorate the big ship going down. That's tomorrow on Soundcheck. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. The program is produced by Katie Bishop and Greta Cohn, with help from Margaret Bresnahan. Our senior producer is Joel Meyer. I'm John Schaefer. Tune in tomorrow for another Soundcheck.